From national news in D.C.
to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol,
this is your Capitol Connection.
And now, bringing the Capitol to you,
here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, where we are working every day to advance family, freedom, and life, and to keep you informed on the biggest news in government, policy, and culture from a biblical perspective. We hope you and your family are safe and healthy and have a blessed Easter amidst the ongoing COVID-19 crisis, and in the words of our governor, are able to stay home, stay healthy, and stay connected. And that's our goal today, to connect you to important updates and information, as well as provide a hope-filled message and talk about what's really important as we celebrate Easter, the death and resurrection of Jesus. We'll be joined shortly by a special guest, Pastor Austin Edwards, lead pastor at City Light Lincoln Church, to hear how churches are responding to the coronavirus crisis and how we all can still find hope and joy in uncertain times. Because certainly right now we are living in unprecedented and uncertain times, and people are looking for hope. And it's amazing that even though obstacles are before us, it's incredible to see how the COVID-19 crisis has really opened up opportunities amidst obstacles. And you're going to hear more about that shortly. And recently, Nebraska Family Alliance hosted a conference call with Governor Ricketts and more than 500 faith leaders from across Nebraska. The faith community right now is playing a vital role in finding opportunities to serve and meeting needs across the state. Governor Ricketts reminded us people are looking for hope, and churches and ministries are stepping up to serve and love people in ways that the government can't. And to serve you, Nebraska Family Alliance has just launched a COVID-19 resource page on our website where you can find information on the CARES Act that was passed by Congress, how small businesses, nonprofits, and churches can apply for federal aid, resources for pastors, help for families, educational tools and resources, answers to legal questions, and much more. Also included is a downloadable Serve and Pray guide with prayer points and opportunities to serve. And you can find, read, and download all of it for free at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. We don't know how long all of this will last, but we do know that despite all of the uncertainty, the one thing that remains constant and unchanging is the Word of God and the hope that is found in Christ. Even though church doors are closed and sanctuaries are empty on Sunday mornings, God is still at work. The gospel is still being proclaimed, and churches are finding creative ways to reach and serve their communities. I'm pleased to be joined now by one of my favorite people, a good friend and mentor, Austin Edwards, lead pastor at City Light Lincoln Church. Austin, we are so glad to have you with us on the program.
Hey, thanks, Nate. I am honored and super excited for what you guys are doing, and just excited to be with you and talk for a little bit.
I appreciate it. We're so glad to get to have you with us to share today. And Austin, first, I'd love just to hear what this has all been like for you as a pastor, having to make major adjustments due to the coronavirus and no longer being able to hold physical gatherings on Sunday mornings. How have you experienced and processed all of this?
Well, I think there is a temptation. I mean, all of us gravitate towards comfort, right? We want to have our ducks in a row. We want to have the savings account just right. We want to know what we're doing and be confident in what we're doing. And I think some silver lining to this is it's shaken up all our sense of comfort and stability, whereas the only thing we're comfortable with is God's Spirit guiding us. The only thing we are founded on is Him and His grace and provision. So in some ways, man, although I've spent so much time like learning and researching, and it's like you're learning to ride a bike all over again, in some ways it's been really special because it's made all of us more dependent on Jesus and going, I literally cannot rely on my own strength and my own wisdom. I need you to guide. I need you to move and do something new. So for me, I think it's awakened that very evident reality that I can't do this on my own. And so that's one aspect of it, of just shaking up our comfortability, kind of shifting everything and learning new things on our own has taken up a lot of time. But on the other side as well, I'm just extremely proud of our church. It's been difficult to not see people, but they've been so gracious to us and patient, and we're getting our technology, and it looks a little bit JV at times, but we're getting it there, and our church hasn't complained. They've been gracious in offering help and contributing in so many different ways. So that's been good. And surprisingly, since I'm not going all over and having all these like meetings around the city, I've actually had a lot of time to call people and just have a daily rhythm of praying for a couple people in our church every day. So surprisingly, I feel like I'm almost more connected to our church than I normally am with all the busyness of the normal schedule. So that's a couple ways on how I'm doing. I'm excited to physically gather with our church again whenever God allows that in the future. But for now, we're getting through it, and I think Jesus is doing some special stuff.
I love that perspective. And I think for a lot of people, you know, I think that the isolation and just not being able to see friends and family or see their church community has been a challenge. But I'd love for you just to get to share, you know, some ways that you've been able to find, you know, joy and encouragement during what for many, if not all, has been sort of just a scary and chaotic few weeks.
Yeah, well, what's wild is we're getting emails from people in our city that maybe go to a smaller church that doesn't have the ability to live stream. And they just said, thank you. They've been tuning in every week to our live stream and enjoying it. It's crazy to think about, you know, just caring for those people in this season where it's a totally unique for them as well. And we're thankful for our means to be able to live stream it on YouTube every week. So that's been good. We've also just had people from all over the state and even nation tune in, and their family members from staff people, their family members from churches or friends, and people are just hungry, mate. They're just like, what's going on? They have more time to think because they're not super busy, and many of them are staying at home. And so they're just asking these questions. So it's literally like God is putting these spiritual conversations like on a tee, like to just for us just to share the gospel and to see God write new stories. So I've been encouraged. I cannot tell you how many phone calls and emails I've gotten of people asking questions that have not been receptive to the gospel so far. And they're excited to talk because they're wondering and they're worried and they're going, what's next? And what do I do? And where's my hope? Because my hope can't be in my 401k anymore. And we get to point to Jesus. So I've had some incredible conversations. You know, it's the whole story of God using Joseph's turmoil in Genesis 50 verse 20. He says, what you intended for evil, God used for good. And you look at some of this and you go, how could God redeem and use something like the coronavirus or COVID-19? And I've been tangibly, like literally every single day, seeing him bear fruit in people's lives. It's just been incredible.
Man, that's so encouraging to hear. And I just love what you've been able to do and what you're sharing, even despite the uncertain circumstances and challenges that we find ourselves having to face on a day-to-day basis right now. So Austin, what is City Light Church? What have you all been doing in response to this pandemic, even though the church doors aren't open right now on Sunday?
Yeah, so we started ministry specifically for groceries, just knowing that there are a lot of immunocompromised people in our city and in our church as well. And so we're trying to guard them, love them, care for them, and say, hey, we'll actually go get your groceries. And then we also have a lot of young, spry, available, you know, 20-somethings and college students that are going, hey, we'd love to serve in this capacity. So we're starting this. We've started a couple weeks ago. People just going, hey, I'm available. And they go pick up groceries, deliver them to people in our city, a part of our church and not a part of our church. So that's been a really tangible way to serve. So that's been incredible. Like I said, we live stream our gatherings every Sunday. And we just established like a text in kind of church thing where people can text in and ask for prayer. And one of our staff members will call them after the gathering to pray for them. They can ask for assistance. There's like some really, really beautiful things with that. So that's been a fun resource to to set up. We just got Right Now Media, which is a great resource. It's kind of like the Christian Netflix. We just bought that for our whole church. So rather than binge watching more episodes of Parks and Rec, they can actually do some amazing, like really well done resources for Bible studies and then also for kids. Like my daughter loves it. So that's been some things in ways. We have our city groups are still meeting, small groups all throughout the city through Zoom. And what's been amazing, Nate, is that people have messaged us from like, I just talked to a guy from West Virginia that somehow had a connection to City Light, wanted community. And so now he just joined one of our city groups because it's virtual. So people all over are joining, which is just completely mind-blowing. And finding community. Our city groups are actually growing right now, several of them, because one of the biggest impediments to people getting community is they don't have enough time. I'm busy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night. I don't want to do something Friday or Saturday. And now people are like, I have time. So we're just opening up our city groups, trying to give more resources to our people. And then, like I said, on a daily basis, trying to pray all of our staff, about 20 people, praying for people in our church, reaching out and having those conversations through FaceTime or a phone call or a text or a Facebook message.
Man, I love that. And it's so neat and encouraging to hear how churches are stepping up and still finding ways to love people and to serve their communities. And you've shared a little bit already, but I'd love for you to get to share more just how you have seen God at work during this time of so much worry and uncertainty.
Yeah, I think it's a gracious thing of God to reveal to us our dependency on Him. And I think He's just doing that. Like I said earlier, like all of our normal securities are gone. All of our normal rhythms are like messed up and they're different. And so people are in this hungry state. And we have a girl in our church her parents haven't been walking with Jesus, and we've been praying for them for a long time. And for whatever reason, on the first live stream that we did on that first week when all this kind of struck, they tuned in and they watched it. And they sent her a picture and she was just mind blown. And so the next week she went and watched it with them. And her dad goes after the gathering, he goes, "Hey, would you help me find a Bible? I want to start reading the Bible and learn about Jesus." And you're going, what the heck? Like, how is God doing this? I just saw a stat that the church at large, that 49% of churches in America are growing right now. That normal number is 15%. So 35% more of churches are growing right now, because I think they do have their head on a swivel and they're trying new things. And I do think our country and our people are hungry to go, I need answers. They feel like a more relevant just understanding of going, I need some answer to God, to the afterlife, to death and heaven and hope. And we're going, we have the perfect message. His name's Jesus, and he proved his love for you by dying on the cross. So it's been awesome. So that's just one story from a girl, a personal story, but it's been awesome to see that. That just represents many other ones in our church as well.
That's so incredible to hear. And you know, Austin, for a lot of people, Easter Sunday might be the only time all year that they normally attend church. So with physical gatherings not able to take place right now, what's the message that you and City Light Church are hoping to spread this week?
Yeah, you know, you're totally right. Easter and Christmas are these two big kind of rushes of people where it just feels like they are culturally obligated to come and they just make sure to go. And so it's a bummer when you think we're not going to have the doors open for them to come. But I think the message is going out it like crazy. We challenged our church to do a hashtag Jesus save or change my life, hashtag Jesus change my life challenge. And so they're recording a 1 to 2 minute testimony of how God changed their life and just sharing that on social media and challenging some other people to do it. So I'm going to do mine and you'll get a challenge, Nate. And so it's just awesome to see that. And so what's surprising is Sunday morning might not be the most effective way we reach our city as it normally is on an Easter typical Sunday. It actually might be Thursday afternoon when someone from our church posts a video about how God saved them. And then someone sees them and it, you know what I mean? So it's like, we're shifting away from this idea that like Sunday has to be this big gathering of all these people and that's the way you reach our city. It's actually just normal people sharing their stories of God's grace in their lives. So that's that's one way that, that it's happening. But the other message that, as you asked, that I would want to make sure that people knew about Easter, I love John chapter 21. So if you know the story of Peter, Peter's this like one of Jesus's closest disciples. They have a great and intimate relationship. Peter's also kind of boneheaded at sometimes and makes some mistakes, but he's all in for Jesus, says he'd never abandon him. Jesus gets arrested and taken, and Peter ends up denying Jesus three different times. And one of them is to like a young little girl. And so he's just like bummed. He has denied Jesus. He has done what he promised he never would do. And he hears word as Jesus dies on Friday. He hears word that Jesus resurrected on Sunday, and he almost is in disbelief. He's like, there's no way, but what's going to happen? Well, in John 21, it picks up, and guess what? Peter, the guy that denied Jesus, did what he said he'd never do, is on this boat with John and some other guys, and Jesus is on the shore, and they don't realize at first that it's Jesus, and then John is like, dude, that's Jesus, that's our Lord. And just to pause for a second, think about this. Peter is fresh off of rebellion and sin. He just failed his Lord, the guy that he spent 3 years with and said he'd never abandon him. He just did. He has every reason to shudder in shame. And yet, guess what Peter does? It says that he threw himself into the water and swam to Jesus. It's beautiful. And there was something about Jesus that Peter knew that Jesus would not deny him, that Jesus would welcome him with open arms. And Nate, if I could give any message for Easter, it's that we all get an invite in our shame, in our guilt, knowing that we've done wrong, knowing that we feel God, knowing that we've done what we never should do, is that we can jump out of that boat and run to Jesus because he's full of grace, because he loves us, because he's victorious. And so I'm just begging people to know, don't let your sin hold you back from Jesus. He pinned that to the cross 2,000 years ago. It's done and over with if we believe in him and trust in him and bow our knee to him. And so I'm just praying, Nate, that all over our city that Peter's would happen, that story of Peter would happen, that we would know and confess I've broken God's commands in his heart, and yet we get to jump out of that boat and run to Jesus because he's the victorious risen king, and we get to rest in that gracious relationship that we did nothing to earn and Jesus did everything for. So that would be my message and my hope and my prayer, that we would be Peters that jump out of the boat and run to Jesus.
Well, that's the power of the gospel, and that is far and away the most important message we could ever get to share on this show. So Austin, thank you for sharing that word, and thanks so much for your time today and sharing a really important message with us. We're so grateful for all the work that you and City Light Church are doing to reach, serve, and love people across our state.
Yes, thank you, Nate. I am blown away by the work that you guys do and how you fight behind the scenes. And so just thank you for all you do. Thanks for this opportunity. And just really grateful and excited for what Jesus is going to do.
Thanks, Austin. We appreciate you and hope to have you back on sometime again soon.
I'd love that.
Well, that is such an important message to get to share this week. And I think the things that Austin talked about are what really matters, not just this week, but every week. And it's important to keep coming back to those truths. So I hope that you were encouraged and strengthened by that message. And I'm also glad to get to report that Governor Pete Ricketts issued an official proclamation designating Sunday, April 12th as a statewide day of prayer in Nebraska for those who have been affected by the coronavirus. In his proclamation, the governor acknowledged that this is an unusual time for all of us observing holy days this week, and he encouraged Nebraskans to pray and reflect on the blessings we have been given and to pray for those affected by this pandemic. We hope that you will join Nebraska Family Alliance in continuing to pray for everyone impacted by the coronavirus, especially the vulnerable, our government leaders, medical professionals, families whose businesses, job stability, and schooling have been affected, and for the church to find ways to serve those in need and continue in proclaiming the good news of the gospel. Much of what we normally talk about on the show is on pause right now with our state legislature suspended indefinitely, but we still do anticipate that they will reconvene at some point this year and the future, where they will resume business and debating and voting on really important legislation. So we will continue to keep you apprised of the situation as it continues to develop. And Nebraska Family Alliance is standing ready to go to continue advocating for pro-life and pro-family values at our state capitol. And you can read more about all of the bills impacting family, freedom, and life that we are monitoring and working on at our website at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. Click on the bill tracker page. And as we talked about on the show last week, Nebraska's primary election is just around the corner on May 12th. And it's important to know that everyone, every single voter in the state will have the opportunity to request, receive, and send in a mail-in ballot. So everyone can still participate in the election process, even if we might still find ourselves in a situation where people are staying home and staying inside. We want to make sure that voter participation remains high and that people of faith are active and engaging in the political process. So if you're not already, make sure that you are registered to vote, that you can receive a mail-in ballot, and that you do vote in Nebraska's May 12th primary election. Special thanks again to our guest today, Austin Edwards of City Light Lincoln Church, and be sure to visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org for more information and resources to help serve you and your family. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for the Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.